Welcome to the Ag Future Podcast, presented by Alltech. Join us as we explore the future of farming, food, and nutrition.
Today, we're talking with Becky Timmons, Global Director of Applications Research and Quality Assurance for Alltech, as well as the Global Technical Director of Alltech Algae. We're here with Becky Timmons at One, the Alltech Ideas Conference. And Becky, what do you do for Alltech?
Hi, I am the Director of Applications Research, which is kind of like product development and then also quality assurance.
So here at One, you are presenting on fish oil and the fish oil dilemma. So why exactly is fish oil important?
Fish oil is a very important part of the food chain. If you look at our growing population needing more and more protein to feed the people, aquaculture, which is farmed fish, has finally surpassed the amount of just wild capture. With overfishing, we cannot catch enough fish in the sea, so we're having to farm, and fish oil is part of that diet to produce farmed fish.
And why is fish oil important to humans? How do we get fish oil? Like, and what does it contribute to human nutrition?
If you think about it, we are all told to eat 1 to 2 servings of fish a week, and with one serving of that being a fatty fish. The reason for that is the omega-3 DHA portion of that fat, which is very important to our heart health, our eye health, our brain health. And then also, if you think even a little bit further, with prenatal vitamins and infant formula, those all have DHA incorporated into them now because it's so important for brain eye development of children.
And because we have a shortage of fish oil, what are producers doing to make up for that shortage?
So about 1 million tons of fish oil is all that's available every year. And that fluctuates a little bit depending on weather conditions and fishing conditions, that type of thing. But the maximum is 1 million. And as consumers, we're using every bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it is going for fish farming, but a growing segment is going for direct human nutrition, you know, the fish oil capsules. Mm-hmm. You take. So as more and more of that's going to human nutrition, there's less available to produce farmed fish. As a result, farmed fish is a growing segment. What are they going to do? So they've started replacing fish oil and fish meal with things like vegetable proteins, soy meal or soybean meal, soy oil. What that causes is that omega-3 that's so important to go down in the fish mm-hmm. that you're eating. So now they're starting to say instead of that 1 to 2 servings a week, that's going to double 2 to 4 servings a week.
Wow.
So that's a lot of fish.
So sitting down to that salmon dinner no longer has the same value it once did. You have to eat a few more of those a week.
That is correct. And there's actually been studies done, I think it was in Scotland last year, over the last few years, they pulled about 3,000 salmon and did studies on that to look and see what are the levels, and it's gone down significantly.
So what can be done? Are there any alternatives for producers?
Yes, and so that is what Alltech is working on. We have an algae that we produce that is a high-fat, high-DHA, and it's actually algae, if you think about it, fish do not naturally produce DHA or omega-3. They get it in their food chain. They get mm-hmm. it from algae.
Okay.
So we are just bypassing the fish, taking that same algae, producing it so that we then have a nice high-fat, high-DHA algae to feed to the fish.
Does it matter how that algae is produced?
It does. So in our case, we are producing this in very large enclosed vessels. So with that, we can control everything. We can control the temperature, the time, pH, the mixing speed, mm-hmm. all of those things so that we get very high efficiency, which is mm-hmm. good. But also we control the nutrients that we feed it. Sometimes you hear with fish or fish oil that mercury and dioxins mm-hmm. can be a problem. We don't have to worry about that because we're controlling everything going into the system.
Algae is not just, though, for aquaculture diets. We see application for other production species, right?
That's correct. So if you think about it, back in history, the way we used to feed our animals, so we feed scraps back out to our pigs and chickens out back, so they would naturally have things like that fish oil in the food chain, and therefore mm-hmm. it was naturally in the meat, milk, and eggs that we would eat. We don't do that anymore, so now they're fed very heavily on vegetable, you know, things like soy again, corn, distillers grains. So what we are doing is we found that if we put in the algae, so the high DHA in any livestock diets, the animal benefits, so it is beneficial to their health status, as well as it incorporates it back naturally into the meat, milk, and eggs for human nutrition.
And I'm sure kids are sometimes more likely to eat some scrambled eggs than a plate of salmon.
And that is very interesting because, like I said, DHA is something that's added to prenatal vitamins as well as infant formula. But once a child reaches about 1 year old, where are they getting DHA? They're not munching on salmon or trout. A study showed that in the U.S., the accepted or the recommended daily intake for a three-year-old would be 150 milligrams a day. The average American child at three is getting 19 milligrams per day. So huge, huge discrepancy. And as you said, a child's more willing to eat eggs or enriched, naturally enriched chicken fingers, hamburger, or something like that that would have the omega-3 DHA in it.
So there's an incredible opportunity for food companies to really specialize and differentiate themselves on the market with these functional type foods. But what, number one, is the availability of algae?
And again, when we say algae, algae is a huge category with lots of different types of algae. We're talking about one specific type that we're producing, and we have been working very hard over the last 5 years, increasing our efficiencies, lowering our costs, and increasing our scale so that we can produce more and more to be able to fill that gap.
And so would you consider it to be economical for a producer to incorporate in their animals' diets?
Absolutely.
And how does that work in the animal diet? Mm-hmm. Can you describe how it would be added to a feed?
Yes, our product is a dry powder, so it can be added just like any other feed ingredient. It can be mixed into the meal, and then it can be pelleted, extruded, if it was going into like a pet food, handled just like any other raw material.
And the animals enjoy it?
The animals enjoy it.
Okay, good. And lastly, you referenced that algae is a very diverse organism, and you also, I guess it brings to mind what we hear about soil and how much of soil is yet to be discovered. Are there some similarities there, and what else is there for us to discover in algae?
Yes, absolutely. Like they've said recently, in soil, you would find hundreds of microorganisms in each gram of soil. Thousands, and a lot of those are undiscovered, and so now they're starting to find the benefits of those in soil. Same thing is true of algae. If you think about in the ocean, the depths of the ocean, and all the different types, there are believed to be several hundred thousand species of algae, each one different. So you can imagine the untapped resources out there.
It's very exciting. Thank you, Becky, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
To hear more from Becky Timmons and listen to other talks from the AllTech Ideas Conference, visit ideas.alltech.com. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ag Future Podcast, presented by AllTech. For show notes and more episodes, visit alltech.com/agfuture.